Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema kicking off our college football preview pieces. We're just going to be taking a look at each of the conferences and kind of talking through the different teams, how we see how they stack up, and then, of course, looking at the prospects on each of these teams as well. We begin with the Big Ten, where we kind of left off last week, too, because you and I had a little disagreement. You like Ohio State to win the Big Ten, and I really think Penn State might pull it off this season.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't see how Ohio State doesn't win it. But again, maybe I'm a fool for the past because I just don't see Ohio State not winning it like every year, other than maybe Michigan. So maybe I'm just not giving enough. Build me the case for Penn State.
Okay, here's my case for Penn State. I think that they're more dynamic offensively. And not that I think Trace McSorley's great, but I also don't think JT Barrett's great. And at this point, we know.
I agree with you there.
Barrett's maxed out. I think McSorley has more upside to be better this season. I'm not saying he necessarily will be, but I think he's got really good talent in the passing game. He's got Gesicki back. He's got Deshaun Hamilton back. Ohio State's receivers, they have some solid talent. Paris Campbell, people are really looking forward to watching play. But he's caught like only a handful of passes in his career, and this has never been a dynamic passing offense. It just hasn't been, even when they've had really good talent there. So I think Penn State's offense is more dynamic. They have, in my opinion, a much better running back, Saquon Barkley, compared to Mike Weber. And Ohio State's offensive line was a significant weakness last year. I think it will be better this year. Billy Price and Michael Jordan, I think, are probably two of the better players on that. You have DeMarco Jones going into his senior year, but Isaiah Prince was weak. I think that this is still a team that can be taken advantage of in the offensive line. We'll see. Does everybody make those dramatic improvements? I think the offensive line is probably a decent question mark for both of these teams. But offensively, I think Penn State is more dynamic through the air and going to be more dynamic on the ground. Defensively is where it gets tough because Ohio State has much more talent defensively. But again, they're replacing a ton of positions in the secondary. Obviously, they still have five-star elite talent there. And at the second level as well, you know, Dante Booker hasn't played because of injuries. He's been banged up. Jerome Baker, I think he's a good athletic player who projects really well to will linebacker in the modern NFL. But against teams like Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan even that are going to load up the box and going to run straight at you, I think that's where Ohio State can be taken advantage of because they're small down the middle. I mean, we talked about Draymond Jones, Michael Hill, Robert Landers. These guys are not big dudes. They got displaced a lot of times at the point of attack. They have to win by shooting gaps and things of that nature. And I think that they have the potential to get manhandled against certain teams this season physically. And so, yeah, I like the fact that they have better pass rush than Penn State for sure, but that's my case for it. I think that Ohio State will be a little bit better defensively, but I still think there's enough weakness there that I'm willing to ride with Penn State, even though they defensively, I think Kabinda and Marcus Allen are probably their best two players, and there's definitely some weaknesses there.
Speaking of OSU's D-line, I just have to say, did you see Greg Schiano, what he said about OSU's D-line?
I did. He is freaking crazy because this group has talent, but they're not even ready. I mean, like, they're not even ready. And like,
you can't compare kids to pros. Like, that's so stupid. Why would he say that? Man, recruiting, that's just a recruiting thing, too. Yeah. Like, that entire statement is just a giant, yeah, come to Ohio State. We have a better D-line than NFL teams. Shut up. Jesus.
How much is he hated in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, people do not like him.
Well, good reason.
People do not like him from a fan perspective, and people do not like him from – there were some people on the team who really didn't like how he ran the team either. Yeah. So they're not big fans of him down here, but – that statement was incredibly silly, so I just had to, bring that up. But getting back to Penn State, I can definitely see your point, like the point of attack thing, like the running game, with Ohio State, just because they are lighter from the linebacker group, and I think Raekwon McMillan, people overlooked what Raekwon did
right.
last year quite yeah. a bit. And so losing him, I think, is going to be a big deal, as well as losing Hooker. But I guess I'll say that, you know, going into last year, people who followed the Big Ten and Ohio State closely probably knew this better, but most people didn't really know who Malik Hooker was or even, like, Yerion Conley. Mm-hmm. So I will say that, like, Ohio State has the talent for guys to jump out right. out of nowhere. And so that's kind of why I almost always give Ohio State the default. Penn State worries me because McSorley has – has some Manziel in him.
He's a YOLO ball guy.
yeah, he definitely has that Manziel in him where he'll just chuck it up there. And Chris Godwin was so good, and I'm getting to see that firsthand every day at Bucks camp. Mm. I just don't know. I don't know if you can – if it's fair to be like, well, they have Gesicki who could be better and Hamilton who could be better, so they should just be fine. I don't know, man. I think that Godwin bailed him out a lot last year. When he had no business doing it. And so unless they can pick up that we're going to bail out McSorley role, I don't know. I think they might. Yeah, but the thing is, too, is that, like you said, he's such a YOLO passer to where, like, even the games where he struggles, like, if he struggles against the games that are the most important during the year,
yeah.
he'll also give you a chance against games that you maybe, who knows, shouldn't have had a chance against because he's just throwing the ball up there. So
I mean, that's definitely his style, and I'm not under the illusion that he's like great or anything like that. But I mean, Hamilton, DeAndre Tompkins, they were big downfield threats for this team last year. Both of them averaged over 15 yards a catch, and were right around 500.
They definitely
yards
have
a
to be again.
So,
then, yeah,
yeah. They still have some guys. I don't think it was just Godwin last year. I mean, he led the team in receiving, obviously, but I think they spread the ball around fairly well. A bunch of guys over 25 catches, and Barkley's going to be an impact in that department too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right, Barkley. I mean, McSorley is definitely a risky quarterback to pin your hopes on.
I think the important thing for Penn State is like if they can get good at scoring early, then you have one of the best backs in the entire nation, and you can yep. let them go off the whole game. You know, so right. because it gets risky when you kind of are like, hey, we're still down this game. Time for McSorley to unleash the arm. So yeah,
that's my biggest concern is that they just get away from Barkley too much. Like the offense should run through him, I think. And last year it was too much the other way around. They got away with it because, like you said, Penn State receivers were just owning catch points. And I mean, it was crazy how they sustained that, because you go back and watch the games and you're just like, man, how many catches did they make that just were wild?
Right,
that were
right.
key in games, and so I don't know whether that part of it is as sustainable. So that's the risk you're taking, I think, maybe if you take Penn State. But how about number three? Who's third in this, or do you think Penn State's second? Because I think Ohio no. State's second.
Penn State would, I guess, be second, and then I think it would be. You could coin flip between Michigan and Wisconsin. Because
yeah.
you look at Wisconsin and it's like, oh, well, Michigan does not have the experience anymore other than mm-hmm. the quarterback position, which Spate's like okay at best.
Yeah.
But when you look at Wisconsin, I looked this up doing prep for this. They have, I think, 9 out of the 11 returning starters on the offensive side of the ball. So it's like, yeah, return, mm-hmm. yeah, veteran offense. They have the 89th ranked offense in the country. So
yeah.
it's like, yeah, we're bringing back the 89th ranked offense. And so I always think it's funny when sentences and stats like that
yeah.
read off the page.
I have no clue where either of these teams are going to score, Wisconsin or Michigan. I mean, not against the quality team. You know, I mean, what?
No.
I just...
Michigan has to... And this is something that kind of sucks for them, because they play Florida right out the gate. Their starting wide receivers are basically just going to be like 18, 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like Spate is
no.
this gunslinger that can help them out, you
right.
know? So they don't have Chesson, they don't have Darbo, they don't have Jake Butt, they don't have Davion Smith. Like, they don't have anybody.
They need a dynamic back, man. Like, is this freshman Chris Evans going to start for them?
I have no idea.
You know, they just have lacked a really dynamic. Like, if they had a great running game, you know, because I think the offensive line will be good. You know, Mason Cole's one of the best offensive linemen in the country, for my opinion. They're moving him back to tackle. where he played center last year. But I think he'll be a center in the NFL, and I think he'll be a really good one. But, I don't know.
Najee Harris went to Alabama, right? I know you don't follow recruiting. But
yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he went to Alabama. If he would have went to Michigan, he might have been starting.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
One, you know?
And behind a pretty good offensive line.
Huh?
Behind a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah. So, man. So Michigan's kind of going to – that's going to be – and it's going to be really interesting for Michigan, too, because their two biggest games of the year are their first one and their last one.
Yeah.
You know, the Florida game and the Ohio State game. So, they're going to look drastically different in both of them.
Right,
so,
right.
It's kind of crazy there.
Spate's not the kind of guy that you're like, oh, he'll carry him even with a bad supporting cast. Like,
no, uh-uh.
He had a good supporting cast last year, and he was
Michigan's
struggling.
Offense was still, yeah, cheeks.
Yeah.
So, which
straight butt cheeks.
So, Wisconsin, they got Fumagalli. I actually like their defense.
Yeah.
Their defense is pretty good.
And they'll reload on the D-line. Rashawn Gary's going to be a really good player. Maurice Hurst is one of my favorite defensive linemen in the country.
Oh, for Michigan, yeah, definitely.
Oh, sorry. Were you talking about Wisconsin?
Right. I flipped over to Wisconsin, but Michigan's defense, for sure. Those two guys.
The question mark
monsters.
For Michigan is, like, the secondary, right? I mean,
yeah,
tons
they
of
lost.
Freshmen, sophomores.
I swear to God, there were, like, 17 Michigan defensive backs at the East-West Shrine practices.
Well, there were tons, yeah. I mean.
There were so many. I couldn't keep up with it. Like, so, normally – at East-West Shrine practices, they wear the helmets of their college, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
You can kind of, throughout the week, be like, oh, yeah, that's this guy, that's this guy. Michigan's got, like six DBs out there, and they're all wearing Michigan helmets. So I'm like, God, I don't remember what number you are. But then I got to, like, get out the
Delano Hill, right?
A good play.
Huh? I'm trying to think who was there at that time because it was Jordan Lewis wasn't there, but because he was at senior boy. I think
it was like everybody. I swear it was everybody other than Jordan Lewis
and Peppers.
So like, yeah, right. Sorry,
but Delano Hill was there. Jeremy Clark was there. That Channing Stribling guy was there.
Yeah. So like,
they did have a ton. Demonte Thomas.
They
had like six DBs in the last draft. I didn't even realize they had that many.
Right, that's what I'm saying, man. Jeez. They're literally starting all new defensive backs this year, Michigan is. So, like, if there's anybody that you can trust with something like that, it's Harbaugh, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. These guys are just going to have to step up. At least they have Hurst and Gary there on the front line. Yeah. That makes it a little bit easier for a secondary. But Michigan is it's just totally a wild card because they have to completely reload. You're basically if you think that Michigan – if you're predicting Michigan to win this game or win that game or something like that here in the – you're doing nothing but solely trusting the coaching staff.
Right.
That's it because you don't know any of these players.
Right. I think and maybe I don't trust them enough, but I think Wisconsin's the superior team right now. I would pick them to be third. But I also like –
that offense, like I hate it. I hate betting on teams that can't score.
And at least Wisconsin has, Jazz Peavy made some plays last year. I think the offensive line is very solid.
And they had Clement.
They had Clement. They had some other backs. And now they got Bradrick Shaw and Chris James to transfer from Pitt, I believe. And Hornibrook, maybe he's a little bit better this year. I don't know, man. I mean, it's still not going to be pretty.
So.
But you've got Fumagalli, and you've got some talent offensively. I think
Fumagalli's going to go off.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll have a solid year. I mean, don't get me wrong. These two teams are going to be scoring, they're going to be – it's going to be everything they can do to get to 17 points every game.
Right, because that's the thing. It's like people will ask me, like, oh, what do you think about this team? Where do you think they finish in the Big Ten? What games do you think they win or lose? I don't know because, like – It's basically like what game, like you just said, in what game is like 17 or 20 points good enough?
Right.
You know,
it's hard to predict it.
I just, it's always just that. That's why those teams are, you have to put Michigan and Wisconsin, even if you put Wisconsin 3, you kind of have to put them below Penn State and Ohio State just because Ohio State and Penn State know how to score.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And our boy Owen Reese has told us, there's a couple guys on this Wisconsin D to watch out for. He's been in my ear about Leon Jacobs, a redshirt senior who's a pretty athletic guy moving to edge rusher position.
Okay.
Garrett Dooley, Connor Sheehy played really well last year. He's kind of like a 3-4 D end. Obasai also was in that same category probably. And Then in the middle, so, you know, Sitchie and TJ Edwards, you're not going to be able to run against Wisconsin. I like that about it. In the Big Ten, I think that's pretty critical. And they've always created turnovers in the past. They've got to replace a couple guys in the back end, but you know, Dakota Dixon's still back there. Derek Tindall, another senior.
I like Dakota Dixon. Yeah. I like Dakota Dixon.
I think this defense is still going to be very, very good. Not Wisconsin, unbeatable good.
Wisconsin is pure Big Ten football this year. It's going to be pure Big Ten football.
3 yards and a cloud of dust, short passing game to Fumagalli. Noon kickoffs. Everyone's still going to be just waking up, hungover.
You can watch some Wisconsin, some tight end passing game.
Fifth, though,
our boy, PJ Fleck, coming in fifth.
Oh, yeah. I think
first
so.
Year.
Why
row
not?
It can't be boat anymore. I don't know. I don't know.
What is it? I don't even know. What could he he has to come up with a new phrase, right?
Did he keep row the boat? There's no way he kept it.
I don't think.
Right?
I can't.
I mean, that's a – but well, hold on now. All right, so on the flip side, does Western Michigan keep row the boat if he didn't – if he doesn't want to take it?
Honestly, I think there was some type of discussion about, like, the rights.
Who's
going to
row the boat?
The legal rights to row the boat to the phrase. I'm pretty sure there was.
I just pray that at some point Minnesota plays against Western Michigan and it's the Row the Damn Boat Bowl. And right. – We're all going to watch it, all of us.
I don't know how good Minnesota will be this year.
I don't either.
They've got a couple prospects to watch out for. I mean, I thought last year some nice things happened for them, and I think they have some talent. I just have no clue whether they'll be able to duplicate what they did last season or, you know, how they stand going. Because, I mean, I think that the middle of the conference is, I mean, Iowa's going to be tough, I think. They have a really good offensive line. You know, they have some guys on defense. You know, they're always tough. You talk about Wisconsin being vintage Big Ten. Iowa's vintage Big Ten. Terrible quarterback play, probably, but they can definitely run the ball.
Hey, dude. C.J. Beathard got drafted. So.
That's jeez, in the third round.
So.
Thanks for reminding me that and ruining my day. But
That's why I'm here.
But I do think that I do think Iowa's going to be tough, and I think they're going to be a team to watch out for because – even though the quarterback plays bad, that's fine in this conference. I think you can get by with that. And they have, I mean, James Butler transferring over and Akram Wadley already in the backfield. That's a really good 1-2 punch in the backfield. We know the offensive line is really solid. Sean Welsh leads probably the NFL prospects on that group. But we'll see if anybody younger emerges. But I think they return most, if not all, the offensive linemen from last year's starting group. So whoever plays quarterback, if they're not totally awful – I think this team has a chance because they're tough in the trenches. You know, Josie Jewell returns to lead the defense. I think that they have enough to be a solid, you know, middle of the, you know, they're going to compete for somewhere fourth to sixth. I think they'll fall in this conference. And I kind of like Iowa. Maybe I feel like I like them more than the normal person, but I just don't think there's a lot of dynamic offenses in this conference. And so when I see that they won't be that dynamic on offense, I don't get that concerned about it because I think Big Ten football-wise, they have what it takes to be really competitive in this conference.
So what about Michigan State? Like, what do we do with as we're kind of getting down there, like, what do we do with Michigan State?
I don't really know, man. I mean, it's kind of a mess there. Like, I think that they'll be better this year. What were they, 3-9 last year, 1-8 in the conference? I mean,
they were terrible.
It was ugly. I think they'll be better this year for sure, building up the offensive line. LJ Scott's a stud.
He is a stud.
But I don't know, man. I mean, it's
I still think they're a year away from doing anything like top 5 in the Big Ten, I think for sure.
Right. I would be surprised if they finished top 5 or 6.
They had from what was it 2 years ago? They were in the college football playoff, you know? So it's just I always find it weird when you have a program with such a solidified head coach and you have so much success. And don't get me wrong, like I get the rebuilding year here and there, but like that
this was
with
like
that,
a,
record,
yeah,
that record, that record ain't a rebuilding year. That's a you suck.
Yeah,
you know
that was a brutal season for them, and I think Nebraska could be in for a little bit of that. I don't know that they could find themselves in a similar boat, struggling a little bit. I think
does Nebraska still have Tommy Armstrong? Because I feel like he's been there since
'98. No, but he was there for like 100 years. Tulane transfer Tanner Lee and Patrick O'Brien are their competing for starting quarterback spot. I think they're transitioning to a pro style quarterback. What's that?
So Patrick O'Brien sounds like a Michigan State quarterback. He transferred to the wrong school.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the transfer. I think that he was there naturally.
Oh, okay, okay.
Tulane kid Tanner Lee was the transfer. So transition into some pro style stuff, I think. But I don't know. New defensive coordinator. You know, I think that they have some talent for sure, but they definitely seems like a transition year, and they have Ohio State and Penn State on the schedule. So
yeah,
that's fun.
Not great.
Yeah,
then I'm just trying to think of some other teams here. I mean, Maryland with Durkin, I like him, mm-hmm. but you know, I still think they're a year or two away.
Purdue,
really doing
Rutgers,
they need to do.
Illinois, Maryland, they're probably the bottom teams, right? I would think.
Yeah. Lovie Smith coaches in Illinois, so they're not gonna be good.
Yeah. You know firsthand. I think Northwestern's got a real shot to be the surprise. Them or Iowa is gonna be a surprise team. I think Thorson. I've heard real good things about Clayton Thorson. I've yet to sit down and really watch him. But Justin Jackson, I think he leads all returning college football rushers.
I know he's a stud.
Yeah, and so I don't know, man. They've got some talent. I could see them making some noise. You know, I know defensively.
Who finishes with
a
better record?
Guys.
Who finishes with a better record? Northwestern or Minnesota?
Northwestern.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. So who finishes with a better record? Northwestern or Iowa? I've already tagged Old Takes Exposed, so don't worry about it.
Iowa.
All right.
Barely, I think. That's close. That's tough.
By a tie.
We didn't talk about Indiana at all.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
What's there to say about Indiana, man? Get him finished in the middle of the pack.
Basketball school.
Jeez. It is basketball school. That's true. Their quarterback was still wearing number 21.
Indiana's going to do the same thing they do every year. They're going to have a super average team, and then some week, they're going to F it up for one of the teams that are ranked.
They'll play Ohio State real tight, though.
Yeah. Every year. They'll lose. Like, they're going to play. I don't even know if they play Penn State. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But, like, they're going to play Penn State, and they're going to beat them, and then everybody's going to go, well, now what? Now what do we do?
Play Penn State.
That's Indiana.
11-12, yeah, that is Indiana. Or Michigan.
So if Indiana beats Penn State, you heard it here first, folks. Just remember.
They play Ohio State, they play Penn State, they play Michigan, they play Northwestern.
I'm telling you, like, Indiana, just the entire season for Indiana is let's spoil somebody's season.
Right.
Yep, that's what it is.
100%. It'll be either Michigan or Penn State at the end of the year. They'll ruin it for Michigan or Penn State at the end of the year. I guarantee they'll win one of those games. I don't know if they'll ruin it, but they'll throw a real wrench in things. They'll throw a real one, not a fake one, a real one. Their quarterback wears number 21, by the way. That's why we hadn't discussed them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who is it? What's
Richard
his name?
Lagow.
He was
somewhere else before, right?
But I've heard his name. I know his name.
He transferred from a community college, I think. But that's probably why he's wearing number 20.
Indiana has Isaiah Wright's brother, right?
Calvin? Yeah. Do they still have him?
Was last year his last year? I don't think so. No. Wait, was it? Oh, maybe it was.
I don't know. Let me look at that roster. I do remember them. Was it Indiana?
Yeah, no, it was Indiana. He transferred to Indiana from EMCC.
I'm not seeing him on their roster.
It's Calvin something, but
Cameron or?
Oh yeah, you're right. That's it.
I'm looking him up right now, but Indiana Faith. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they're gonna be at the bottom / like middle bottom. That's it. They're gonna beat Rutgers. They're gonna beat Illinois.
They'll beat some of the worst. I can't find him. I don't know what happened to him.
He's gone. He's off the map.
We'll find him. We'll come back with news. We'll have it someday. But Purdue, Rutgers, are they ever going to climb out of the cellar? Doubt it. I mean, I don't know.
No.
It's going to take something. Rutgers, I feel like, has been there like my whole life almost.
Rutgers is going to have to get some miracle five-star quarterback to commit to Rutgers just because, quote-unquote, he's always been a Rutgers fan. And then for like 3 years, we'll talk about Rutgers.
Quote-unquote. Quote-unquote.
Slash they slipped him $100,000. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that this conference it has some potential. I mean, it has a decent amount of prospects in it. We're not going to see it flooded like, you know.
Here's a question. How many teams from this conference finish in the top 25?
No more. Four, maybe five. That's all, I think.
Would the fifth one be like Northwestern as a wild card?
Yeah, Northwestern or Iowa, maybe. Yeah, four, because Michigan will get in there somehow.
I will say five. Could be five,
yeah. It's going to be tight. That fifth spot, it's going to be one of the in the 20s if they're in there. That's what I think. I think you're going to have very top heavy. I think you're going to have those top three, the ones that I think, Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin. I think they're going to be in the top 10 most of the season, though. Wisconsin will be like flirting with that 8 to 15 range somewhere in there, bouncing around. Those are my Big Ten thoughts. Those are your Big Ten thoughts. We'll be back tomorrow. Who are we talking about tomorrow? SEC? Talking about your Gators?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Oh-ho. It just means more.
Talking about your Gators. So we'll be back with SEC preview tomorrow. We'll talk through some of the teams. We'll offer some takes. Let us know how stupid the things we said on today's show were. You can tweet at us and let us know that at Tampa Bay Trey. Just use that handle to tweet all your complaints. Let Trevor hear what you're thinking. But tomorrow we'll have the SEC. So all you SEC fans that are out there, get your keyboard warrior shoes on and get ready to go to town on us because we've got takes. Alabama's finishing like fourth this year in the conference. So get yourself ready for that.
They're gonna have ten top 25 teams. Believe it. You heard it here first.
Hey, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Make sure you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.